Good evening, everyone, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics for this Wednesday, October 24th. That took me way longer than it should have.
It took you exactly long enough to check your watch.
Check my watch. Yes, it's my birthday. I should have known what day tomorrow is. okay, so...
happy birthday.
Hey, yeah. And so we're going to go through these pretty fast so that I can, eat cake or something.
Get Bob out of the house.
Whatever it is. There's some really good stuff. So yeah. Let's talk about the good stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of fun stuff. This is not in any order at all because it's raining and we walked here and I just threw everything in a bag.
Yeah, and you know what? This one's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, sure.
X-Men Black Juggernaut.
Loved it.
Yeah, great.
It's cool. It's a great Juggernaut story.
If you were looking for a great Juggernaut story, that's what it is.
There's also an Apocalypse story in the back. But it's a really cool stylistic art Juggernaut going back to the early days of the X-Men, and but just cool. The art was so cool in it. I really liked it.
Yeah, and Apocalypse gets his groove back.
Yes, he did.
Okay, I just want to say that, so real quick, X-Men Red number 9 is out, and it's great.
I thought it was really good.
It's this series, just in general, it is the version of the X-Men that I grew to love, and so I'm really happy to read this. I'm glad somebody's actually doing it right.
Which
would be Tom Taylor, who does everything right. I love that dude.
There was actually a really great moment between Jean Grey and Honey Badger in that yes. I really liked. But thematically, you know, like I think kind of just to throw this out there, like the X-Men comics are really at their best when they are covering kind of thematic ground that resonates with who we are as a culture, and I think that X-Men Red does that better than any other current X book.
Yes, absolutely agree.
Yes,
this was a surprise.
Yeah,
this is one that I kind of under ordered because I was like, this could not. There's literally no way that this could possibly be a readable comic, and it turned out to be a pretty great thing. Yeah. Black Panther versus Deadpool was really fun.
Loved it. Actually, I don't know if I could pick a favorite necessarily of the week, but it might be that one. I really liked it.
The art is very interesting and very stylized, really, really crazy. It's almost like, I don't know, like Jim Mahfood doing like...
But in a way that, like, and I think it's worth noting, like, the sign of really good... So I don't know, I didn't recognize the names of the people who did this comic, but... The art is like movie specific, where you can see like Chadwick Boseman in Black Panther.
It's Ricardo Lopez Ortiz.
Oh, that guy. I don't know who that is. But
he's one of David's favorite artists.
Okay. Well, David has good taste because this guy's like one thing that kind of takes me out of the comics, as I talked about a little bit here and there in the past, is when they go too photorealistic. But this is not photorealistic. But at the same time, you can absolutely tell that like it's the Chadwick Boseman Black Panther. You can tell that Shuri, know, I don't know the name of the actress who played her, but either way, it's not movie. It looks like it could, like someone who came into it from the Deadpool or Black Panther movies would find familiarity in it, but it also is like a really stylized.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a contrived, you know, Deadpool needs to fight Black Panther, but it's really smart how they go about doing it. And also the way he draws Deadpool is really cool too.
Absolutely.
Kind of has a mouth.
Probably my favorite version of Deadpool because he gives him a smiley face.
Yeah, he has like a smiley face, but
he has
really
way more expression.
Yeah.
Another great thing that came out this week, something that I've been loving forever, Books of Magic is back.
Yeah, this is the one I've been waiting for.
Yes, and it's as good as the original, as far as I'm concerned.
I think in a lot of ways it's better. If you read they probably have reprinted it now, and it's the original miniseries. But this kind of like I followed the series after the miniseries, and it went on for years. This kind of like I'm not sure if it's totally ignoring that, but I think it is.
I feel like this is not ignoring the mini series, but is ignoring the maxi series. Like I think it's ignoring the ongoing because he's still a kid.
Yeah.
He's aware that he has magical powers. Yeah. But he's just sucks at them, and he's given the books of magic for the first time, and he can't read them.
Yeah, he just basically doesn't want to commit. And also, one thing I just realized, and I don't know, so this is written by Cat Howard, but drawn by Tom Fowler. And Tom Fowler has done some Quantum and Woody stuff. He's done that Weatherman. I think he did Weatherman. Did he do Weatherman? No, that was a different guy. But Tom Fowler did. He's awesome. And he did something else recently that I really liked. And anyway, that's why. Like, I really liked the art in this. Yeah. And it's top-notch. Top-notch art. And now that I see who drew it, I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Books of Magic, number one.
Super accessible to a new reader who never read any of the 90s stuff, though. Yeah. Even though there may be some backstory.
Yeah.
Like all of these. Like, Lucifer, I'm not 100% sure how much they were holding on to from the series. Mm-hmm. Like, because you don't know if the other universe still exists that he created at the end of... He could have come back from there or whatever. There's lots of questions from that. It looks like they kind of ignored a lot of it, and they're kind of rebooting.
Yeah.
But, and this definitely has some reboot qualities to it, but I'm still totally stoked.
I think it needed that, and I think it was really great. Like,
yeah, because the war that happened at the end of that last series in the 90s was just confusing as all hell. I had no idea what happened.
And then he basically, like, kind of became an adult. So, like, you could... It's good, I suppose, to have read the Neil Gaiman Books of Magic series, but at the same time, I think you can kind of get the gist if you haven't read that. But it was good. Liked it.
Yeah. Okay.
What's this? So, this is the only thing I actually read cover to cover of all of them. Like, I read a fair amount this week, but this one I kind of devoured this one.
Yeah, Dark Horse, The Whispering Dark by Christopher Emgard and Thomas Ira. You know what? I fucked up both of those.
Yeah, it's okay. No one knows who they are. I think I don't know that they've ever done comics that I've seen.
But yeah, this is a very interesting thing. We're told that it's going to get Lovecraftian. It's not terribly Lovecraftian in this one.
No.
You basically encounter a group of mercenaries or...
They're soldiers.
Soldiers, sorry, yeah. And they crash land, and shit goes to hell.
Yeah, that really does sum it up. There are amphetamines involved. Yes. And
they don't know if they're experiencing hallucinations from the use of the pep pills or...
Yeah, I would imagine that there will be more of that in future issues. Yes. But this is really just kind of like establishing like the characters and... but yeah, they're like soldiers who are shot down and then have to make their way through enemy territory in order to get where they need to be. And if they made it in the first issue, it wouldn't be a series.
Okay, here's something that was pretty interesting. This was a weird, weird choice for them. So Dynamite has rebooted or gotten the license back to Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
And this is crazy. It's not what I would have expected them to go for in any way, shape, or form. It's super, super indie, like very, very like way hipper than I would have ever expected Dynamite to go.
There was a series that I was talking to Tristan in the store about that I enjoyed quite a bit recently called Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Yes.
And or just Rock Candy Mountain. And it was by Kyle Starks who wrote this. And then the art is kind of similar to his style, but a little, it's a different artist and Schweitzer. But this is very
Chris
much
Schweitzer.
It's a Mars Attacks story. If you've seen the movie Mars Attacks, it's not like just telling that story, but it is like very similar. There's a really cool thing that they do with how they incorporate the cards into the story, which I thought was really, really smart.
That was super smart.
And it was overall very enjoyable. I really liked it much more than I would have expected to like a Mars Attacks comic.
And more than that, so they do the same old thing where they make way too many covers like Dynamite always does for everything.
Mm.
But in this case, there were like three of them that I loved.
Yeah.
The one that we have here is...
That's just by the main series artist.
Yeah, the big-ass Martian face done in like three colors.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And there was another one that Hack did that was an autopsy, and it was like a surprise attack from inside an autopsied alien with a bunch of little aliens inside, and it was amazing.
Yeah, that was cool. And then there was a Tom Mandrake one that was just like the aliens or whatever, but really, really fun.
There were really good covers. They almost made me feel like it was okay that they made that many covers for the first time in history.
Yeah, I mean, they could have kept the two that I liked the best and yes. had only had those, but at the same time, yeah, they weren't bad.
Okay, I want to talk just at a little bit more than I would normally about this. Action Comics 1004.
Yeah.
It's so weird to say that.
It is. But and soon we'll be saying it about Detective Comics
too. Yeah. But man,
great.
It is great.
Yeah.
This is so exactly how you need to write a Superman book.
Yeah.
In every way, shape, and form. It feels like the Christopher Reeve portrayal of Superman. He is just overly kind, and he's a farm boy, and he's
good.
Yeah, he's just a good person, and he's very simplistic about the things that he likes and the way that he is, and it's just, you know, he's offering extra help on top of like like advice and little things and it's
physical
just,
checkups. Yeah, I mean, but not in a creepy weird way.
He's like checking people for cancer,
it's like broken bones and things.
Yeah, it's very it's good. It's just, man, if you want to read Superman, I'd say read Action for me.
Yeah, I would 100% say that.
Yeah, if you are just like, I miss Superman from when it was, you know, reminded me of the movies and when he was just sort of a force of good and it was a fun comic. This doesn't have a ton of baggage. It's got a little emotional weight, but it doesn't have like, it doesn't feel like that kind of like weighted down, like mopey kind of superhero crap that kind of ruins these sorts of stories.
Yeah. The kind of this issue is Lois went to space and came back and didn't tell Superman who she's married to. And so then he just to find out she's back and he was kind of like, what the hell? And this is like them.
And there was some gossip column-y stuff with her and Lex Luthor.
Yeah, for sure. And she's writing a book.
Yes.
It makes me want there to be Action Comics and then like a Lois Lane comic, I think would be really cool. Bendis, if he's going to do like 14 books with, you know, he might as well just do a Lois Lane book too. Like, I think that it's a great character who's never had her own book. And, you know, if you go back to the core of Lois Lane, kind of that like 1930s, like go-getting reporter, like kind of archetype, which was at the time, like really kind of revolutionary. And, you know, and then in today's modern age actually feels like kind of revolutionary again in a way, which is somewhat sad. But I mean, it's definitely sad if that's true. Maybe that's just my opinion. But either way, it's good. It's like, so it's not like what you, I think everything that you said about it being the Christopher Reeve Superman, it's like,
yeah,
Superman in DC Comics and my biggest beef with them. I've been thinking about this a lot and where I'm at with DC being a long-term DC reader. I think DC Comics are overly depressing and Superman is, in general, his characterization for decades at this point has been he's just an asshole. Just like they're all just assholes. Like all the DC guys are just assholes. And that has
been kind of a problem with
like
DC
just the
for a
default.
While.
Like they just make them dicks. And it's, this is not that, and I love it for it not being that. It's like, here's a personality that we've assigned, you know, like that kind of this,
yeah.
There's an established history of this character having this personality, and someone actually like seems like they read those comics and is not just like, it's not about the situation, it's about the character. And so Action Comics, like Superman, the series is more like just Banks superhero planet smashing kind of stuff.
Yep.
And it's not bad. It's actually, I think, for that it is,
and it, but
really
it does,
good.
It does still have those moments. It does still have the human moments that make,
yes,
that make this so good. But this is more about the human moments.
But yeah,
with a few superheroics involved.
Excuse me. What I would say is that this harkens back to the early 1930s days of Superman, where it's like, this is like, he's an investigator, he's a hero, he can do things that Superman can do, but they don't spend a lot of time having him do like these crazy things. That's like, a lot of the stories are all about like, oh well, Superman can't be beat, so let's give him something else, like we have to dream up something that he can't beat. And it's like, that story is just played out. Like, don't bother with it. Like, have him be, how do you use your powers to do good in the world as it exists, which is what Superman the Siegel Schuster Superman is about. It's I agree. I wish I could do this thing to make the world better. And that is what Action Comics seems to be doing. Yeah. And I liked it.
Absolutely.
Sorry to talk so much
about
Superman.
No, but I agree. I feel like Superman at its core is the world is a hellish place. We're seeing all sorts of terrible things. I would like to see a story. It would make me feel good to see someone who cares about the world enough to make it a better place.
Yeah, like,
and
in the,
it's enjoyable to see that.
Yeah, in the early ones, like, there's like he sees someone, there's like these arms dealers are killing people, and he's like, I don't like this. So he takes the arm dealer and like enlists him in an army and makes him fight on a battlefield so that he sees firsthand what happens, you know, like that kind of stuff. And it's like, maybe that's obviously like a overly simplistic thing that wouldn't fly in today's comics, but at the same time, you know, it's that thing that like, man, I wish I could show these guys, you know, or like when a guy's beating up his wife and Superman shows up and he's like, yeah, how tough are you now with your, you know, and the guy's like, oh, and then just like, you know, or whatever, or like this person is being executed on death row. Like, I'm going to stop that because I know this guy shouldn't be executed, you know, whatever.
Right. And, exactly.
But that's the kind of level of stories that Action is telling these days.
I agree. And okay, so very quickly, because we're halfway through this mini series anyway, Beasts of Burden number 3 is out.
Yeah.
If you like Beasts of Burden, you're going to love this, and you should read it because it is great.
And it has warthogs in it.
And it has warthogs. I realized that I just glossed over this book that I should not have. This book is amazing.
Yeah.
Marvel Superhero Adventures Halloween Spectacular. The best kids' book ever.
It's really good.
This whole series has been phenomenal. I can't think of anything that I've thought of as a comic for kids that's readable by adults that is on this level since like Tiny Titans.
Sure.
Like I would put this on that like amazing
I would
kids
put it
book.
Above Tiny Titans.
Oh, ouch. That's painful. I can't imagine anything above Tiny Titans.
What I would say
but
about
man,
this
is so good.
Yeah, it is. The middle page spread alone is almost worth the cover price of $3.99.
And the fact that it's got mazes and it's got, you know, like cut this out and have a battle scene.
Here's a Scotty Young drawing you can color.
Here's a Scotty Young drawing that you can color. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like what comics for kids 100% should be. It's great. Yeah. They're doing a great job.
Really, I think that's kind of the magical thing that Disney can inject into Marvel is that Disney knows how to deal with kids stuff.
Yeah.
And that is killer.
Well, absolutely. They know how to put a Halloween spooktacular together.
They
I'll tell them that. And also they have Ty Templeton doing like double page like newsstand or newspaper funnies kind of thing.
It's so good.
It's so good. The jumble alone in this issue is like just amazing.
And the Thanos the Menace comic is great too.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's something that
came out. I tried to read it and I couldn't.
Oh, I liked it.
Oh, cool.
I actually thought it was fun.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
It's funny. A lot of people disliked the series. I very much enjoyed it, but I guess I can see where they're coming from. Soldier Supreme is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Number 2.
Sorry.
It's another one of those squishing two comic characters together from Marvel. You get Doctor Strange and Captain America squished into a single person, and you also get the MODOK and what's his name? Mordo squished into one person.
Baron MODOK.
Yes.
That's pretty clever.
He's the magical organism designed only for, I don't know, something.
Can I see it?
For cults.
Cults.
I don't know.
Oh, he's on the cover too.
But it's great. Yeah. I really dig this. This is my favorite of these Infinity Warps books so far, at least. I also really have been digging Sleepwalker. I thought that was really fun too.
Yeah, I think, did Sleepwalker come out this week?
No.
Last week. I missed it. I know there was an issue and I missed it.
And this speaking of, there is another one as well. Arachnite comes out, which is Moon Knight, and I guess, I don't know
Spider-Man
if it's
Spider-Man or Moon Knight.
It's not Spider-Man. It's what's his face?
No, it's totally Spider-Man. It is. Like the origin is that the Green Goblin is a demonic.
Are you sure it's not Ben Reilly?
I mean, I guess it It's pretty. It's got Uncle Ben and Aunt May, and they get killed in front of him. And
oh, okay.
He gets the spider totem, so it's like literally like it made sense to me in a way that the other ones aren't. Like it was just like a straight.
I think it's Scarlet Spider, but
okay, yeah, it could be. I don't. Yeah.
Either way,
but it had Uncle Ben and Aunt May at the beginning. That's why I thought it was Spider-Man.
Could be, but cool, fun. Batgirl is out. It's got Batgirl in it.
Yeah, Batgirl was still actually I think a decent run of Batgirl.
Yeah,
She's fighting some kind of murderer.
I'm into the new costume. I'm into this like kind of back to basics thing that they're doing. I'm still having a hard time with the hipster Batgirl thing.
I don't know. I really liked that Cameron Stewart design, Babs Tarr, and I do really like the new costume. I thought that this particular one was the best metal enhanced DC comic cover. I thought it was graphically, whoever did that cover did a really good job. And I like, you know, generally as much as I'm going to be into a Batgirl comic, I thought it was good. It wasn't depressing.
Oh, yes. Ghost Spider.
Which is now Spider-Gwen is now called Ghost Spider. That was okay. It was a continuation of her series.
If you like the Spider-Gwen thing, you're probably going to dig this.
I think you might even like this better than some of the last issues.
That's
of kind of
well. That was more what I was saying. I'm not really a huge fan of the character, but I have followed it a little bit here and there, and I liked this more than I liked the last few things.
Yeah, I think that the character is going to end up with a lot more fans after that Spider-Man animated movie comes out.
Oh my God, absolutely. It's understandable that they want to take a little more control over it.
Yeah, I assume that's the whole reason why they're doing another Spider-Geddon or Spider-Verse or whatever. Spider-Geddon, which Spider-Geddon number 2 is out.
It is.
It wasn't as good as the first issue, but it's continuing the story. If you're following it, there's a new chapter.
Yep, and Spider-Ham's still alive.
Yes.
So thank God for that.
Spoiler.
All right, Lodger.
You read more of this?
I did.
Lapham crime comic.
Yeah, it's Lapham and his wife.
Looks good.
David Lapham and I'm gonna say Laura because it rhymes. I don't know what her name is.
Maria.
David and Maria Lapham, and it's great. It's if you like Stray Bullets and all that stuff, you're gonna love this.
Yeah.
It's again, he's one of the best cartoonists, like as far as like facial expressions and following, like it's just he can tell the story in a way that nobody else can, and if you are into that style of storytelling, he's like the only one who does it. It's pretty much him, and so yeah, read it.
Yeah, when I didn't read it, it wasn't because like, oh man, I reject this
it's
or anything like that.
It's so
just it's very
wordy.
Dense. But the art was amazing, and he's really good at crime comics. So it's cool that there's a new starting point. Number one, kind of here's what he's doing.
Yeah,
and he and his wife.
So we're not ignoring the Elvira books that came out this week.
I didn't see them.
They did not actually come out this week because of some sort of diamond snafu. I don't know if it was dynamite or diamond, but I called them. They were on my order form that I was like, I absolutely ordered these. And then they were like, I don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. They checked everything and they were like, oh, yeah, those didn't get fulfilled this week for some reason. So
weird.
I guess they were delayed.
But
instead we got Army of Darkness,
which
the
I
Halloween
liked.
Special, which was really fun.
I liked it.
Yeah, this is just a fun, nonsense, funny Army of Darkness story.
Yes.
That revolves around Halloween. What the hell more do you want?
Yeah, that was good.
Justice League Odyssey. I have no idea what's going on.
So there is when the just spins out of Justice League, when they broke the wall, the source wall, a new sector of space was released or something. Like there was some kind of the Guardians had like the Guardians from Green Lantern. So basically this is a small team of Justice League characters, Cyborg, Starfire, actually really more Teen Titans characters, I guess. But anyway, they are exploring this sector
and
of
Ezreal.
Space. And Ezreal and Jessica Cruz, Green Lantern. And they are exploring this section of space, and it actually has really good kind of fantasy style. Like I would, what I would at one point have associated with like Top Cow kind of like looking art.
Well, I mean, it's, I didn't Stefan.
I think he's a Witchblade guy.
Yeah. I was going to say, wasn't he a Witchblade guy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite possible. It's cool. Like I like, I actually really like the redesign for Starfire. It's, kind of just like more like,
tasteful.
Yeah. It's more like the, like I would see, like if someone came into the store and was like, I really liked the Teen Titans cartoon. What's up with Starfire? I would be like, check this out. I wouldn't be like, check, you know,
Red Hood from that
Red Hood or whatever. Yeah. Or like just like depressing Tales number 6 or whatever. Man, I'm just not going to get off this DC is too depressing kick.
Well, to be fair, it is, but
this was great.
But there's also Batman Beyond, which really is not depressing and is fun.
Batman Beyond number 25.
Yeah, Batman Beyond. It continues to be a very fun and entertaining book.
So Batman Beyond has a Robin now, and there's kind of like this dual storytelling thing with Batman and Robin, original OG Batman and Robin versus Terry McGinnis Batman and Robin kind of thing. The cat is doing a thing over there.
Yeah. I just realized that our cat feeder is not the greatest for podcasts.
It's kind of some clicking.
Literally just the cat knocks pieces of food into the tray and then eats them.
Ah.
It's intentionally annoying for people listening to podcasts.
I also will say with this Batman Beyond that it has like, it's another strong foil enhanced cover. And I think Dave Johnson did it, which is why it's probably good. I'm not sure if that's who did it or not. The signature is hard to see with the glare. Victor Kalvachev is the artist.
Perfect.
Cool.
Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, number 36.
Also fun.
Continues to be one of the best books out there.
Kingpin's adopted kid, and there's like the Wrecking Crew has their own dinosaur now, and they're kind of like the villains of this arc, and it's just really well drawn, fun story.
Yeah.
Good the smartest stuff for school-age kids. Child in the Marvel Universe. She's smarter than Mr. Fantastic, apparently.
Mr. Fantastic is taking a beating in the IQ ratings lately. Yeah,
because the Wasp is one of the smartest ones, too.
They've just been like kicking him down. Shuri knocked him. She's now number one.
Number one?
I believe Shuri is now number one.
Nice.
I mean, which technologically speaking makes sense because she is
Wakanda.
All that stuff is far and away beyond everybody else. I always liked the idea of Mr. Fantastic being always the smartest because he could rearrange the size of his brain or whatever.
There was
some sort of weird, like, he could rearrange his head in a weird way.
I thought that was a funny line. I can't remember
who had that. It might have been Mark Waid or one of those guys came up with that as one of his like
rearranges neural pathways. Yeah,
he was like squishing around his head to make him.
I would say that as long as Mr. Fantastic is always one smidgen smarter than Dr. Doom, I don't care who is smarter than Mr. Fantastic.
That's fair.
But like, if Dr. Doom is smarter, then you've got problems.
I always loved the fact that Valeria was smarter than
him. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't want to tell him.
Yeah.
She knew that she was like a couple steps beyond him, but wanted to just like keep it on the DL.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And only Uncle Doom knew. I love that.
Uncle Doom. Uncle Victor.
And Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
Number two
is out. It was fun.
It's a fun book. It's a fun idea.
Yeah.
They did a really good job figuring out how to do this. It's got a Black Cat comic, and it's got an old horror book in it as well.
That was my favorite part.
They're just taking pre-code, copyright-free comics and then just
drawing themselves into them and then rewording them. Yeah.
It's funny. It's fun. It's silly. It looks great. It's just a very clever idea.
Yeah. It's smart.
Yeah. It's literally the only way you could have made a Mystery Science Theater comic that would have made any sense at all. Except for literally publishing the comic and then having them in silhouette, literally commenting on it, which I would imagine they also thought of.
It probably did not work. That would probably be really visually
overwhelming.
Hard to deal with. You liked this. I liked this. Another comic.
I was very surprised. Ezreal is all over the place lately.
Yeah, right?
Old Lady Harley.
Yes.
This book.
Miniseries, yes.
It is a five-issue mini. It's very fun.
Yeah.
it's got her in a post-apocalyptic world. They up the tank girl of her quite a bit, you know. It's, you know, she meets a bunch of crazy versions of characters. It gives them a chance to flex the wackiness into a post-apocalyptic story that's Mad Max-y and, you know, Old Man Logan-y and all that stuff.
Yeah.
There are little riffs on Old Man Logan in it with certain creatures that they meet and things like that. But, you know, they meet up with like a bunch of droogs from Clockwork Orange that worship the Joker. And it's cool.
Yeah.
It is, again, I think they're finally starting to figure Harley out in a way that isn't just kind of a gross cheesecake thing.
Yeah, although if you want that, just read Heroes in Crisis.
Is she gross and cheesecakey in that?
I don't know. She's like sexy and stabby.
Well, you can be sexy and stabby.
It's more like
just look at Charles Manson.
The Heroes in Crisis, and I hate to like badmouth Tom King because I really like him, but Heroes in Crisis is just like, I don't get the characterization of that versus the characterization everywhere else. But
it's,
you know,
so
whatever.
Funny. Everybody, I do hear a lot of people who are anti. I really enjoyed Heroes in Crisis, but that's me.
It was a good story as far as it goes, like a first issue story. It's just, to me, I it's not for me. It's like
fair.
What it comes down to.
But speaking of things that are for you, New Amazing Spider-Man was great.
Yeah, I liked it. It's the first issue of the new run that I've actually like kind of gotten into, because it's more back to basics, like Spider-Man doing Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah, and speaking of back to basics, The Punisher number 3.
That was bad.
This I actually like 1 through 3 so far been really into.
Yeah.
And this one is even more. They get even more like old Bendis run or Brubaker kind of stuff, plus The Punisher's teaming up with Daredevil, which really makes me happy.
Yeah.
It just reminds me, it's like they added Daredevil and then they brought it to the Brubaker Daredevil world somehow. It just sort of like turned into the old Brubaker Daredevil series, and it's great.
Yeah, I liked this. And when I said, like, if you're listening to the audio, if it sounded like I said this is bad, I was saying better than I was expecting it to be, but I stopped myself because it's just such a really generic thing to say. I thought it was pretty good.
Speaking of better than I expected it to be, Spider-Girls. I did.
Nice.
I read it because I didn't really know who the hell Spiderling was, because I think I didn't pay attention to something at the wrong time.
Is that the kid from the future when they're married?
I believe so, yes. Okay. And this was great. It's a big part of the Spider-Geddon crossover craziness, but it also stands alone, and it introduces some fun characters, especially... I think this is the Renew Your Vows family.
I think that's the kid, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mayday Parker and like a bunch of characters that I like a lot, and also the Ultimate Universe Spider-Woman.
Oh, neat.
Is that her? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's Mayday in a different costume.
Actually, yeah, I honestly don't. I think this is Mayday, and I think this is Spider-Girl from... The regular, there was a Spider-Girl.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
And then this is the daughter from the Renew Your Vows. Either way, it's a bunch of different, it's Spider-Girls. It's
cool.
All the different Spider-Girls.
Okay, so guess what returns? Wolverine, again, for a second time.
Declan Shalvey drew it. It's good art.
Return of Wolverine 2. I thought it was dumber than it needed to be. But it's real lunkheaded. And I like Wolverine, and I like Wolverine when it's lunkheaded, but I like it when it's a little better directioned than this. This felt like somebody making a, like the difference between like a James Bond movie and one of those, like, I don't know, the Mission to Miami kind of movies, like like a James Bond movie made on a $10,000 budget or something. It's just...
It definitely felt like a Wolverine as James Bond.
It's just...
I don't know. I didn't have it.
I didn't hate it. I just... It feels like this... They might want to just smarten it up just a little bit. And again, it's Charles Soule, so it's not like he's an idiot, and it's not like he doesn't know how to do this. They've just told him to bring it down, and I think he brought it down a little too far. I think he needs to just kind of...
Well, but Wolverine doesn't know who he is, right? So, like, that's kind of the whole...
there are some cool things. Like there are some little moments. I still really enjoy the characterization of all of his different personality traits as being in his head as different Wolverines and coming to them and like kind of flashing to the rage monster that's in there and kind of some little spooky moments that are fun. But overall, I could use a little stronger structure. Yep.
Yep. I don't know. I didn't hate it, and I really liked the art.
Cool.
Speaking of things we thought, maybe earlier we said there was something that we liked way better than we thought we would. Spider-Girls. This comic that we're about to talk about was something that I did not expect to like at all, and I actually really liked.
I'm going to say this is the best.
Yep.
Of the new What Ifs that they've come out with. What if Thor was raised by frost giants?
Totally agree.
This book was very, very fun.
Yeah.
Just super self-contained awesomeness. Read it.
Yeah.
I couldn't... If you like Thor, you need to read this book.
Yeah, it's the Thor-Loki thing, but just like imagine if the dynamic was flipped in the way that Thor was raised by Loki's true family and just kind of... It doesn't go where you exactly think that would go.
It's a Freaky Friday.
It's a Freaky Friday with Thor and Loki. That was good.
Yeah. And Vampironica number 4 is out.
Yeah.
It's a vampire that's Veronica from Archie.
Also, I think it's going to cross over with Jughead the werewolf soon.
Awesome. Super team.
Yes.
I will be looking forward to the super team. Is there anything that we missed out on?
We talked about. Oh, we did not talk about.
Definitely talk about
that. Oh, and we didn't talk about this either. This we don't need to talk about. Last but not least, Witching Hour Part 4 in Wonder Woman 57 is out. I actually thought this was... I've really liked this crossover. I dig it. And this one was a good, strong chapter. I felt like it was kind of losing me in the last issue, and this one really brought it back. And then finally, I can't let it go without saying that there is a comic called Scooby-Doo Team Up, which we occasionally talk about because Scooby-Doo teams up with really weird things from DC. And this one could not be any more so of that because it is Scooby-Doo teaming up with the Doom Patrol. And it's really interesting because it's the classic Doom Patrol of the 60s version, but it has all of the latter Grant Morrison stuff added. So like... Doom Patrol with Crazy Jane and Flex Mentallo and Danny the Street and like these weird and then also it's just, you know, I'm sorry, it's just so great. Like, I love that it happened. I love that there is a comic book where Scooby-Doo and Shaggy are teamed up with Crazy Jane, even if she's only in it for one or two panels.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so fun.
I mean,
also good for kids comic.
Yeah,
but maybe like it's definitely one where it's like if you appreciate the Doom Patrol and who they are, you know, you probably like it a little bit more. But at the same time, like, yeah, like I think a kid might have a hard time grasping like a sentient street. Like,
yeah, but
they
I think
also teleport.
I think they're fine. I think they'll be fine.
It's like so casual. Like the chief is just like, yeah, he's a reserve member of the Doom Patrol. He's a street. He can also teleport. It's just like, all right. But the characters in the comic, like it's like Scooby-Doo are just like, what? Rut? Mm-hmm. You know, like whatever.
Great.
Fun.
It's
fun.
Great.
It's fun.
Awesome. Well, that's about it.
Yeah.
We have a big event coming up on the 27th.
Yes.
So that is our free comic book day Halloween thing. We've got a whole bunch of free comics. We've got Joseph Schmalke, who's going to be releasing his new book, doing a signing for Cherry Blackbird. And we may have some other free giveaways for another secret project that he's working on that is going to be kind of a big deal.
Ooh.
Some really cool stuff. Nice. And yeah, so come say hi, get some free comics, get some candy.
Yeah. There were a bunch of cool trades too that came out this week.
Ooh,
too.
Some good stuff.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff this week that we didn't necessarily talk about. And then also come in for that event
because
Joe Smolke's awesome.
Yeah, we got so much cool stuff. Come check it out. And also, I listed every single book that we have in the store. So
you're
like,
really proud of this.
Oh my God. It was the craziest day of too much work. So anything that we have on the shelf for single floppies is now on our website for this week. So the new books, it's all there. We got one of everything at least up. So if you want to order your books through us, it's going to be as good as any comic shop.
Yeah, it's a great service. And the discount also, like if you order online, you get that discount.
30% off when you use the code subscribe.
Holy Moses.
Holy Moses indeed.
No, that's not the code. The code is subscribe, not subscribe. Holy Moses. Don't enter code Holy Moses.
So there it is. Spend $30 or more, get 30% off.
Sick.
25% off? 25% off. I'm sorry. But it's still pretty good.
It's all on the website.
It is.
So there will be no confusion.
Thanks, guys.
Yay.
I'll see you later.